Well, at first I thought that practical wisdom would have meant do the grad tribute, then do the Father's Day thing, and then the Father's Day message. But I'm so glad you did the grad tribute after the Father's Day thing because it helped me get my emotions back in check. And those of you that don't know me, I'm almost as emotional as Joel. Not even close, he says. Okay. Some of you are wondering why Diane and I are dressed this way. Unfortunately, Ashade and Tunde aren't here this morning, but Ashade's family... Oh, they are. Oh, they're just not sitting in their normal spot. Oh. So we were gifted this last Sunday, and I thought we should wear it this Sunday. So this is in honor of your family, Ashade. Well, from a faith perspective, the role of fatherhood is highlighted even more by the fact that God chose to reveal himself as Father. And I realized this morning that not everyone has had a good experience with a father. And I also realized that if your experience hasn't been great, you also have the opportunity to break the chain. In other words, you have the opportunity to change that around and make that different. Earthly fathers are always imperfect. Newsflash. It's not that God is like an earthly father, but rather earthly fathers are called to be like God. With God as the source of all fatherhood, earthly fathers are but imperfect models of our heavenly Father. And I realize that this makes striving to be a good father even more humbling and important. So we could ask ourselves this morning, how will your son or daughter come to understand God the Father from your example? Scripture not only narrates the relationship between God and his creation, it is also our owner's manual, giving us his perspective on how to do life his way. We've been studying Scripture these last 2 months, May and June, and it's pretty hard to get to know God if we don't read his word, and then try to apply his word to our lives and live it out. And if you want to be a good father, there's your owner's manual. Throughout Scripture, God shows us what it means to be a good father. And although I don't always appreciate it, he created us fathers with emotions, us males with emotions. And he doesn't mess up. So I guess they're a good thing. I'll figure that out one day. Scripture shows us fathers how fathers are to lead, to protect, to guide, to provide, to set an example, to strengthen and affirm and love their children. As dads, we are shadows of the substance of God, and God has given us these children for us to be a signpost pointing to their greater Father, the Heavenly Father. And just so that we don't miss the main point here this morning, when we had Mother's Day, we talked about mentoring, because mothers start off with mentoring their children, and that task actually carries on to everybody else. And today we want to talk about fathers as modeling, and whether you're a father or not, whether you're a male or a female, there's a generation behind you. And you're going to model, by the way. It's not about whether you want to or not. You're going to model. The question is, what are you going to model? Is it going to be a good model? And albeit an imperfect model, but you and I are going to model. And whether you're a senior or you're a young adult here this morning, there's somebody watching you. I can remember, and some of you will probably remember this in your own lives, you'll have your own illustration, but I can remember when my boys were small, and I would walk like this, like a cowboy, and I'd look behind me, and both the boys were walking behind me the same way, right? Our kids, they're watching us. They're watching us. They watch what we do. There are four ways, well, there's more, but I want to highlight four ways that fathers model God. And I realize that good dads understand the importance of investing in the well-being of their kids. Every dad represents God to their children, especially through their formative years. And if there's a regret, amongst other regrets, a large regret that I have is that during my boys' formative years, there's an expression, rode hard and put away wet. Some of you know that expression. I was so buried as a faculty at SBC that I was very, very often a bit of an absentee father. And if there was one thing that I could turn around and do differently, I think I'd rather pump gas, sorry to say, and be home at a decent hour and be there for the kids. And, you know, dads, we can't change the past. We can also just try and work at being better in the future. How fathers model God forms their kids' perception of his character and his authority. Inevitably, their future relationship with the Father God will be shaped by their earthly fathers. So here are the four characteristics of God that you and I want to emulate and model. Number one, unconditional love. And yes, these are targets. These are not necessarily reachable. This is a target. You know that God loves his children no matter what. And some of us sitting here this morning need to remind ourselves that includes us. God loves you no matter what. No matter what, God loves you. You're hearing that from me, but more importantly, you need to hear that from God. He loves you. And as fathers, through mistakes, foolishness, rebellion, and rejection, God's love never loosed its grip on his children. And as fathers, we should also learn to continually love our kids no matter what they do, what mistakes they make. And I'm going to say, if at all possible, during those volatile teenage years, keep the lines of communication open and don't write off your kid, because at some point, as a father, you'll know something again. There are those years where you know nothing. You knew everything at the start, and then all of a sudden you know absolutely nothing, and it'll come where you suddenly know something again. So be patient. Don't cut off the communication, and continue to love your kids. The Father's love is not contingent on our actions, but proceeds from his very heart. God's love is unconditional and sacrificial. So above all, a father loves his children, reflecting God's own love for his children. And by the way, love is more than a word to be spoken. It's an action to be lived out. It's an action word. It needs to be demonstrated. And number two, training and discipline through guidance and example. And again, we won't do this perfectly, but this is an area that we want to focus on and we want to do better at. A sure sign of God's love is his discipline, guidance, and training. He designs experiences in our lives to grow our dependence on him. We were talking during prayer time this morning before the service about how quickly we forget that we actually need God to work in us and through us, and we're so independent. And then sometimes we waste time doing it our way, and then we have to come back and say, okay, God, I'm ready to listen and do it your way. When we veer from his ways, he guides us back to him through discipline. No loving father would allow a child to continue down a destructive path without correction. Young children especially are like sheep, and their parents are like natural shepherds. They naturally look for them, or they look to them for guidance and example, even when it seems they don't want it. And by the way, I never did this, but don't threaten to throw your child out of the window if he doesn't behave, because you actually have to be prepared to carry through on what you say. They're testing the boundaries. So don't say that one. I never did. Scripture provides abundant examples of God's priority for instructing his children in his ways. And Christian fathers must also place a high value on instructing their children. And that instruction is anything but passive. You know, dads, we can't outsource this responsibility. Yes, other trusted adults often play an important role in a child's spiritual formation. And it's so great to have a village. It's been said it takes a village to raise a child. It's so great to have a support network. It's important. But you can't really outsource the role that you need to embrace. It's a privilege and a blessing for fathers to get to raise their children in the fear of the Lord. And it's vital, helping paint a picture of who our Heavenly Father is, even in the small and mundane things of life. Thirdly, provision and protection. Our Heavenly Father intimately knows our individual needs. In fact, when you and I pray, we do realize that we're not giving Him information that He doesn't already know, right? We know that. We're not telling Him something that He needs to find out. He knows. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what's good for us. He understands. But we communicate nonetheless. Because of His great love for us, and out of His endless storehouse, He provides exactly what will benefit us. His gifts are always good and generous. A father provides for his children in an imitation of God who provides for his own. Fatherhood also carries with it the responsibility of protection. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray these phrases: give us this day our daily bread. That sounds like provision to me. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's a prayer for protection. Scripture calls God a rock because He is strong and unmovable, a sure refuge in uncertain times. I don't always feel like a rock. And dads, I guess when we get older, there's a point where we need a cane or a walker or a wheelchair. And we're no longer a rock in that sense. But we're called to imitate God in the way that we provide and protect for our children and our families. A father is meant to always be there, always be dependent, dependable, which will help his children feel secure. That leads me to the fourth one, and I realize we could probably add a bunch more. Identity, belonging, and presence. Remember, in Exodus, God told the Israelites, "I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God." These words of identity and belonging are repeated many times through the Scriptures. God wants us to know that we belong to Him. We belong with Him. In this identity, we rest in security rather than floundering in confusion. Do you know who you are? Yeah, we can play the Mennonite game. And, you know, there are those that roll their eyes when I start talking about who you're related to or this or that. But beyond that, more importantly, yeah, I know you guys are laughing. More importantly, you and I are God's children. That's our primary identity. That's an identity that will last forever. The God of the universe is our Father, and we find our true purpose in the one who created us. And earthly fathers model God by establishing a sense of identity and belonging centered on Him. Throughout the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, God did not leave His children alone. The Father was present with His people, and His presence through guided instruction sustained His people even when He was silent. In the same way, fathers should be present with their children. Just as the children of Israel did best when they were aware of God's presence, so too our children will do best when their dads are visible and active in their lives. And I know sometimes there's this tension, right? Mothers have this maternal instinct, fathers have this paternal instinct, and we have this need to provide. And then you add the Mennonite hard work ethic. And then what happens is you're trying so hard to provide that you're also at work so much and you're not connecting. You have to find balance. You have to find balance. Because at the end of the day, I think our kids would say, "I actually would prefer more time with you if possible." Research shows that children are negatively affected when their fathers are absent. So we want to model our Heavenly Father, and guess what? God models and we emulate. God models and we emulate. In Matthew 5, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus gave his disciples a command to love. When we do that, we will be acting like our Heavenly Father in heaven. So in a sense, God leads and we follow. And I realize that we will not be perfect. That's a target that we won't completely reach. But God models and you and I emulate. It's a goal, an ultimate destination as our life journey moves forward. And this gives us an idea of how we model to our own children. The Heavenly Father models attitudes and behaviors for us, his children, and then we follow. And if we want to help our earthly sons and daughters have a correct grasp of the nature of God, we should seek to model similar thoughts, actions, attitudes, values for them to see. It's more about attitudes and values than even actions, because actions flow out of attitudes and values. We also desire that our children go beyond just knowing about God and instead build a close personal relationship with him and begin to become more like him as they develop his attributes in their own lives. So modeling creates a beautiful chain link linking God, fathers, and children. And I'm going to ask Mike and Nixon to come up. I'm going to give you a kind of an illustration of this. I think they agreed to do this. I'm going to put a picture, if you can't see it, it's a picture of my dad right here. He's no longer with us, sorry. Okay, well, let's put it here. We'll do like that. Okay. Do you want to stand there, Nixon? No? Okay. Okay, so here's the chain. Oh, okay. You're good with this?
You're the boss.
So that's my dad over there. He passed away a year and a half ago. I stole that from my mom's room while she was sleeping this morning. I'll bring it back. I did. There's a lot of wonderful things that he modeled for me. He wasn't a perfect dad. I'm not going to give Mike the mic because I don't know how good a job I did at modeling things for him. But there's the chain. He modeled for me. I tried to model for Mike, and Mike is modeling for Nixon. And the point is that's the pattern. That's the intended pattern. And sometimes what happens is when the model is really, really bad, then that carries on through generations. But when it's good, right, Nixon? Yeah, then it's good. Thank you, guys. There's hope for that last generation. So consider this simple outline. God models his character, so his attributes, his attitudes and actions, God models. And fathers seek to emulate. So God models, we seek to emulate, leading to dads striving daily to incorporate God's character in their lives. So when we try to emulate God, we try to incorporate his character in our lives, which leads to God's attitudes and actions eventually becoming natural reflexes for fathers. Are you there yet? That's not me. This time, last Sunday it was. Which leads dads modeling the Lord's character and children having a better understanding of and love for their Heavenly Father. Which then leads to children emulating the attributes of God. And that final link in this chain, the children emulating God, is of great importance. We want our children to have more than just head knowledge about God. We sincerely desire them to be godly individuals who experience the reality of the Heavenly Father in their lives. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, that he was discipling, to his son in the faith, said, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." I think we've heard this verse already. "But set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, and in purity." God wants to use you to magnify his glory. If you've ever felt too old, remember that God has purposefully put you here. He wants to use your learned wisdom your grit, your leadership, your discernment, and your life experience to point others to Him. You are never too young or too old to be used by God to model a Christ-like life to others. You are never too old or too young to model a Christ-like life to others. No matter your age, God has empowered you to love Him and to love others and to love a life that live a life that points people to Him. I want to read a poem, and I think it'll be up there. It's called Find Us Faithful. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. I'm guessing Mo could sing this just like that. I'll keep reading. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we lead them to believe, and the life we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. You and I can set an example. In fact, we could take that preposition out and say, you and I are setting an example and will set an example. We are. In the way that we talk, in the way that we act, in the way that we love, and the way that we live out our faith. You can be an example. You can represent Him. But don't forget, you need to read the owner's manual, the Bible, to represent well. And I really like that call from Joel this morning, for men to be there for each other. I don't know, you get a crying pastor, and then all of a sudden you get another guy, and then another guy, and we've got a bunch of weeping prophets here in this church. And that's okay. That's okay. If we could only escalate our care for one another and our vulnerability with one another and ability to share with one another and be there for each other, we would all be stronger for it. Let's pray, and then I'll ask the praise band to come up. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that our identity is grounded in You. The moment we accepted the work of Christ on the cross on our behalf, we became Your children. We became co-heirs with Christ. We were bound for heaven. And yet, Lord, here we are on this earth, sometimes sledding through difficult situations, sometimes dealing with the consequences of the fall. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help us, as we sang, to be light, to let our light shine, to seek out those who are hurting and come alongside them and support them and help them. And help us as mothers and fathers to be good mentors and models for our children and for all those that come behind us. We pray that You would do that work in and through us. We know that we can't do it on our own. So we commit ourselves to You in Jesus' name. Amen.